eyes to see and ears to hear and a mind that will understand. You gotta have an open heart, one mind and one accord, for the testing time is now at hand. Do you remember when Jesus said, come and follow me, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You gotta
this past week as well, and as have, you know, so many have mentioned and everything, and Brother Smith mentioned too, of course, but I'm thankful for the meeting we had and that I had the opportunity to work with my brothers and sisters, and it was good in the little area I was in anyway, and so I appreciate that, but I think every time that I go to a meeting or am involved with one, I always am thinking about the truth, you know, that we have, the truths that we have, and how appreciative I am for them, and then that our ministry is always seeking for any more truth that the Lord wants to reveal. And then for us to accept that and to get it in our hearts, we do have to have a vision, and we do have to have our eyes open and our ears open. And so my mind's always thinking in that train of thought, I guess, whenever there's a meeting. And so therefore, that's where my mind was today on the song service. But I am so thankful for that. And I've thought many times how I'm just really a benefactor. I'm a recipient of all of the hard work that's gone on before me, because I certainly haven't ever had to. I'm a woman, one, but two, I'm much younger, and I've never had to, you know, thresh out the Word of God and get the truths and everything. They've just been handed to me, and to most of us, really just been handed to us on a silver platter, and we haven't really had to dig for it and work for it. So I'm so thankful for our forefathers who have gone before and who brought us these truths, and that I'm a benefactor, a recipient of that, and I'm thankful to be in the body of Christ. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. I wouldn't want to live any other life. And it isn't easy every day, this walk, but you know what? It's nothing compared to, if I really think about our Savior and the things that He went through every day, denying Himself and just living His life, and that burden I know that was on Him at all times, knowing that He had to do it perfectly, to be a perfect sacrifice for you and I. So I'm so thankful that He did it right, and that I have, you know, the Spirit of Him dwelling within, and I love Him. I'm thankful for that, and you know, all the things that He bore, and you and I, we just live for Him the best that we can every day, and we receive many blessings for that. So I just love Him. I just feel a thankfulness in my heart. And the ladies' meeting that we had downstairs was a lot on thankfulness. And so that has been going over my mind too. I'm just thankful for the place that I am, thankful for the body of Christ and for the vision that I do have. And I don't want it to grow dim. Some people, as we all know, we've seen loved ones and friends who their vision has grown dim, and they've gone by the wayside. And I pray, Lord, please don't let that happen to me. Don't let that happen to my family, to my children. I don't want them to just be a statistic, you know, that was here and gone. And then I don't know what will happen in their future, but I pray every day, Lord, please keep them safe and help them to get their own vision, you know, because this is the way to go. I believe that with my whole heart. So I just love the Lord. I appreciate Him, appreciate all of y'all, and just want to go on serving Him.
But anyway, we got to come down, and the Lord has blessed us. We've had a real nice motel to stay in, and we've already told this young man this morning, we said, we will be glad to give the church where we stayed, and because the prices are extremely reasonable, and it is very clean, and we've have to go back home. We'll go back home probably in the morning. And I'm not going to wish that my car would tear up. Everyone knows that would be foolish. But I wouldn't mind. Because I do have a place to stay. And my husband's with me. And But we know we need to get back, and we know we have a family up there that two grandchildren, and of course one boy is Enrique is 13 years old, and all he has ever heard is something that basically the truth that he got here. And you know, you never really know when a seed is planted how it will grow. But I'm going to tell you, Leon had passed away in September, and in October and November, we came here and we were on our way to Kentucky, on into Tennessee. We were going to go see my brother, and it was the last time I ever saw my brother. And Brother Tally, I will never forget, you don't know what you're saying when you speak to a child. That could be the most important words that child will ever hear. And that bench right up there. At that time, Enrique was 6 years old. And Brother Tally was sitting up there. And Enrique, he got down on one knee. And I mean, he was looking, he was absorbing, he was listening. And I will never forget what afterwards. Of course, no one went over there. I'll tell you, when you have a man of God and he is speaking to a child, know that those may be the words that will save him. And the next day, I guess it was, I said, Enrique, What was happening? What was Brother Tally telling you? And I'll never forget what he said. And Ricky looked up at me and he said, Mimo, he was telling me about God. That what else can you hear that can give you the strength to go on? It's when you hear something and you hear it at a young age, so it is planted deep, so that you don't know when that is going to grow. These precious little twins here. All ever since I was here last time, I have thought of them so many times, and I've thought of what little one over here said. She said, I'm sure going to miss you. And I said, I'm going to miss you too. And I'm looking forward to seeing everybody again. And Destra and I own two houses up there, and we've got things we've got to do. But really pray for the people of Northwest Arkansas, because it's a big land. We have right at 200,000 people up there now, and we need help. Some of the things that are being taught, it's almost unreal. But I'll tell you, when you have met the body of Christ, and you know that is the word of God, then you're a blessed people. And I want to be blessed again.
I just want to say thank you so much for your courtesy. Thank you so much, Pastor Smith. Thank you so much, Brother Daniel. I really had the great, great honor of working as a worker. I was a table trash under Daniel, and at the same time I got to slip in the back, and I heard what I heard. I did not disagree with, because 5 years ago God had talked to me. I'd searched since going to college. I'd searched every day. Things just didn't seem right in all the churches. I was a Catholic the best I could be for 10 years or so, and I was born as a Baptist, and I was a Assembly of God for a great time. And 5 years ago, nothing, nowhere seemed to fit together. And I knew there was an apostolic church out there somewhere. God is going to have a redeemed church. And I was searching for this, and I hadn't even heard until I met Junior, heard of a body of Christ. Can you imagine that? And I went on and had a church in my own home, and we just covered whatever's in the King James Version. We just had prayer and healing, and up to 25 people would crowd right in. And for 5 years, we praised the Lord as best we could in our own home. And the early church did that. So just thank you, God, that I really think this is a window and an opening, this body. Just be so proud from all I heard and all I've studied and the many times I read through the scriptures. I haven't bumped onto and run into something that is contrary to my understanding. So just praise the Lord. As June said, we have lots of work in northwestern Arkansas, but my heart will always remember until we get back down here again how courteous and how glorious and uplifting this whole meeting, from the teachings to the trash detail. This has really been seeing people work together and work with all our heart as into the Lord. Thank you so very much.
I want to say how thankful I am for working in the meeting. It was such an incredible blessing. I mean, we worked so hard, but, you know, it was such a good time. I enjoyed the ministers serving them and their wives, and it was an outstanding meeting, even though I was only up here on Tuesday night. But it was really, really a blessing. And Brother Ogden, I enjoyed your testimony, and it seems like we have something in common, because that's exactly where I came from. I mean, I've been in like every church imaginable, and it's kind of like when I was born. Well, y'all know my mom's a Polack. And so her whole family are Catholic, and it seems like, and then here she married this Pentecostal boy, and it's like, I mean, just from what I understand, both of the families like fought over me when I was born, because, you know, they were bound and determined to, you know, baptize me in that Catholic church and everything. And then, you know, my grandpa was worried about it. And finally they said, don't worry, it doesn't matter anyway. But, and then I was in Brother Richard Tate's, while I was in Brother Dawkins' split, I guess you would say. And so my Grandma Wilson, praise God, she won. And so I was in Brother Tate's church, even though I didn't understand the restoration of Israel. It was like puzzling to me. You know, it's like I had more questions on everything that I heard. And then when Richard Tate went to Israel, basically where I went to church with whoever my best friend was in school. My mom and dad had already left church when my little sister died. And so I was just kind of like blowing in the wind. And I remember questioning God. And Brother Ogden, you've come to the most incredible place. You will get all your questions answered here. And it'll just make sense without a shadow of a doubt, because that's exactly what happened to me. I got here, I met Brother Lineker like years back in the Kansas City church in the dining room, and I could tell he did not want me. He didn't want me. So I wasn't going to come here. I was not coming to Little Rock. Brother Lineker didn't want me. And so anyway, but you know, God, he just kept dealing with me when my grandma died. He just kept dealing with me. I mean, I was like reading my Bible every night till 4 a.m. I mean, I just couldn't get enough of God. I just could not. And so finally, in desperation, I said, I'm finding Brother Lineker's church, you know. And I started through the Yellow Pages. I mean, you wouldn't believe how many pages in the Yellow Pages are churches. I mean, it's like finding a needle in a haystack. But I was calling numbers, and I remember the, and I know a lot of you have already heard my testimony, but I called, and Sister Lynette, I didn't know her, I heard her voice, and she said, for Brother Weiniger's mailbox, press 1. For Brother Lineker's mailbox, press 2. And I was like, yeah, jumping up and down, screaming, I found it, I found it. And so I asked my brother, I said, how do you get to Asher Avenue? Oh, you're not going there. Well, how do you get there? He said, you got to go down Roosevelt Road. The only way you can get to Asher Avenue is you have to go down Roosevelt Road, and you are not going there. I'm like, oh, yes, I am. And so I jumped in my car, and I pulled up here. Joshua, he was little. He was like 7 years old, and he was in the car with me, and we pulled up. And it's like I pulled up onto this parking lot, and it was the most glorious place I'd ever seen. I mean, God done something for me. And y'all know I would have came in here, but I had shorts on, very short shorts. But I would have come in. It was like a Wednesday night, and everybody was having church. But Linda Fisher, I'd already met her, and she'd mentioned the name of her church. And I was like, I didn't get up to say all this. But anyway, I remember working with Linda at Deluxe, and I had really given up. I had given up that I'd ever get in the body. My grandma had died, and you guys wouldn't know this, but I was really backward. I mean, I just couldn't go up and talk to anybody. I mean, but y'all know that's not true, because I could talk your ears right off. But so I guess God delivered me of that. But but anyway, I kept on waiting for Linda to come to work, because something about where she said she went to church. And so anyway, I worked D shift on nights, and she worked A shift. She was going to come in and relieve us. And I waited and waited, and usually, gosh, she gets to work so early. And this one particular morning, it seemed like, is she ever going to get here? And finally, she got in the building, and our building was huge. Deluxe Video was just like 20 of these buildings. But anyway, it looked like she was just taking her time to get there. I couldn't wait to meet her. So I got up, and I'm like, I got to meet her halfway. And what I walked up to her, and I said, Linda, and at this time, I was just a coworker, you know. And I'm sure the way she saw me barreling after her, she probably like, what is this woman doing, you know. But I walked up to her, and I said, Linda, I said, what is the name of your church again? And she said, First Gospel. And I said, oh, my goodness. I said, do you know Brother Leininger? She said, yes. And she said, Brother Weininger, but Brother Weininger, I'm sorry, I never heard your name before. But I'm like, do you know Brother Burns? She's like, yes. Brother Tucker and Brother Burns grew up together, and they were best friends, you know, coming up as young boys. Anyway, I'm like, so you know about the body of Christ? And she's like, yes. And I just grabbed her hand, and I just started jumping. And she didn't even know what I was doing. She just started jumping and shouting with me. Oh, y'all, but anyway, she did invite me to church one time before, you know, and I'm like, oh, no. I said, I wear pants. And she said, oh, you can wear your pants. I'm like, God forbid, I'm not going to wear pants in church, but I guarantee you when I get home, I'm putting my jeans on. And anyway, so then she invited me to church again, and you know, I've been here ever since. And I'm so thankful for what God's done for me and my life and my family. And to have Joe here, y'all know how I feel about that. But I wanted to, you know, Brother Smith, you were talking about the devil subject. And I know I was talking to Chelsea a little bit about this during the meeting. We were in there sitting, but talking about some things. But anyway, I remember when I was a little girl, gosh, I was like 11 or 12 years old, and I was in our school library, and there was this cute little poster on the wall in the library, and it was an adorable little puppy, and he had this boot, and I mean, it was all tore up. I mean, just tore up, big old hole in the side, and irreparable, and the caption was, "The devil made me do it," And you know, that poster just like stuck in my mind, and I just kept thinking about, you know, that poor little puppy, the devil made him do it. And you know, and then as time went on, you know, I mean, this thought just dwelled with me. And then I started thinking about people in prisons, you know, and all the people that had murdered and robbed and all the bad things that they've done, you know. And then I really started, you know, crying out to God, feeling bad for those prisoners, you know, being there, you know, not, you know, because the devil made them do that. And then it's like my thought even got higher than that. I was like, oh, God, you know, I don't want to murder anybody. You know, I don't want to steal. I don't want to rob. I don't want to do those things. And so I started praying and just begging God, you know, oh, Lord, you know, keep the devil from me. Keep him from me, you know. Don't let him do those things. Make me do bad things. And so anyway, well, the boys were young and I finally got led here. You know, I did go to Brother Burns' church when I could. And like I said, you know, there's so much that didn't make sense to me. And so I remember I was sitting out there in that pew, and Brother Liniger was up, and he was talking about something. He wasn't even talking about the devil. He was not even talking about it. He just made a reference to it, and it just clicked. It just snapped, you know, and was like, oh, God, there is no devil. I mean, y'all just don't know the relief, you know. And there were so many times, you know, when God was just giving me nuggets and things were just dropping in my mind. You know, everything was just clicking and making sense, Brother Ogden. And, you know, and I've said, if y'all would have known how hard I was holding on to that seat, because I could have come up out of that seat and I could have ran and shouted. And, you know, like my dad raised me all the time, don't be a fool. You know, he'd always, my dad could see when I'm about to come out, don't be a fool. Sit right there, you know, and I could hear my dad's words, but I'd sit there not behaving inside. I mean, oh gosh, I'd be leaping with joy, clicking my heels. I mean, it's like, oh God, you know, all the truths, all the many things that God has showed me. And I came here in 97, and I'm so thankful to God to be here. And God is, you know, I was talking to Brother Daniels one day. We were talking, I was praying for my boys, you know, because right before Joe got married, he left. And about 2 weeks before he got married, he left. And then Josh, you know, I homeschooled him, and I didn't think anybody was going to hire him, and finally Walmart hired him, but he had to work Sundays, and I was like, oh, God, you know, but he can't grow up to be a 20, 30-year-old, never had a job, because nobody will hire him. And so anyway, he got a job, and then, you know, he fell away from church. But I was talking to Brother Daniels. You know, I used to request prayer for my boys every time, but I was looking across up here, you know, and I'm like, well, there's other people here that love their children just as much as I do. And so I just prayed and prayed and prayed. I told Brother Daniels, I said, I've ran ahead of prayers, Brother Daniels. I don't know how else to pray. And one day I told him, I said, God, oh, God, just do to them what you did to me. It'll work. You got me, Lord. Whatever you did to me, do it to them. And, you know, talking to Joe, you know, it's like whenever we don't get to see each other very often, we have to catch up. He dropped me off from church last Sunday, and he helped me carry my stuff in, and he finally sat down, and we talked for 4 hours. 1 o'clock in the morning, we realized he left his car sitting out there running 4 hours, the trunk wide open. We had to catch up, but I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful to God for this church, Lord. All you've given to me, all you've entrusted in me. Now, my biggest prayer in life is, Lord, don't let me disappoint you, Lord. I don't want to be your disappointment. But I'm so thankful for all of you. Thank you for this meeting. All the ministers, all the wonderful guests we've had. And I just thank God, and I love everybody in this church. I may not say it to all of you, but y'all just don't know how much I love all of y'all, and thankful to be here.
appreciate the Lord tonight and today. I can't continue on without expressing my appreciation for the Lord ultimately helping everybody and keeping us all up and ginning for the whole week. I think everybody performed admirably, and that is something that is, I'm sure, weighs on the preacher's mind. Is, you know, there's a word that I heard here recently. It's called performance pressure, and there takes a certain measure of pressure to cause performance. In other words, in order for you to do some things, or for me to do some things, it's going to require a certain amount of pressure. And this meeting was a whole lot of pressure. Might not have been to you. Y'all are used to it, but I had never been in a meeting of this magnitude hosted by the church I was attending, except for the last youth meeting, which, you know, the youth kind of do, they kind of do their thing. The preachers, the pastors, you want to really, you know, you want to do your best. The kids, they kind of take care of themselves, but I appreciate everybody's hard work and effort, and some going above and beyond the call of duty to make sure things got done. And just from one saint to another, I really appreciate it, and appreciate getting to be here with a church that is honored enough in the body to get to have a meeting, to get to host a meeting, have a large enough facility and a large enough crowd to actually get to be able to manage it all without really any help other than just ourselves. But there was a few that did come in, but not that many. But I enjoyed the meeting. What part I did get to be in, I spent most of my time behind the wheel of my car, buzzing people around or in there nursing, playing nursemaid. But I did enjoy the meeting, and I thought there was some good things said, and I really enjoy hearing different schools of thought to provoke me to thought. But as the service started today, there was a continuity of thought in those songs that caught my attention, and that's to what I want to speak about today. And that was that we should have eyes and ears to see and hear with. For some reason, as that was going on, that was what was catching my attention. And then with Brother and Sister Ogden's testimony, it's basically the same thing. Give me eyes and ears to see with, and continue to touch my eyes and ears. And Sister Lacey's testimony, and I believe that should be all of our prayer. There was a time in the Bible, and I'll just get right to it because I don't want to spend up just a few minutes, but in Matthew, the 13th chapter, there came a time that the disciples asked Christ, they said, "Why are you talking to the people in parables?" So he gave them this answer. He said, well, he says, because it's not given to them, or he says, it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. That's Matthew 13:11. Then he goes on through here, and verse 13, he says, Therefore speak I to them in parables, because seeing not they, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Then he makes this statement. He says, but blessed are your eyes. For what? They see. Blessed are your ears. For they hear. Thank God that He's touched our eyes and our ears. But not just that, He touched our spiritual eye. That's a whole lot more important. There's blind people that see the vision of Christ clearly. He touched your spiritual ear that you can hear what is being fed to you, because words are food. And in Jeremiah, I believe it's 15:3, somewhere through there, I may be wrong, it says that I shall give you pastors that shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. So I appreciate having pastors that have fed me over the years with knowledge and understanding. That's words that are food for us. But if I don't have any teeth and I don't have any eyes to see what I'm eating and I don't have any ears to hear what I'm eating, ain't it funny? People have such a strangest language. The Bible's completely full of strange language. You eat with your ears. I appreciate that we eat with our ears and our mind. Our mind does what? Understand or comprehend. And in the fourth chapter of Second Corinthians, I believe it is, fourth chapter and fourth verse, it says, in whom the God of this world, and he was just referencing back to right here, at least they should hear and I should heal them. But you know, God will eventually allow you to close your eyes and just not allow you to see anything. It takes a continuation. It takes a continuation in growing and developing in the body of Christ and in the law of God to fully understand what he has in store for his people. And he goes on through here and he starts giving the parable of the sower, and we all know that, all the different types of grounds. And then he gives another parable, how that there was different seeds that grew up in the same garden, that the master who sowed the seeds didn't intentionally sow tares in a seed in his field. What, I mean, that would not be good sense, would it? You just would not sow improper seeds in your own field. But somehow those tares still got there. And so all the servants said, come up, come to the master. And he said, what should I do with these tares? He said, well, just let them be. And in the day of the harvest, we'll separate them. I stand in church sometimes, and I think, am I a tare? Am I wheat? I got a few more years before I guess I fully know. But I appreciate that the Lord God, that he sent the gospel, and in the fourth chapter of Corinthians, he says that they should not hear. Let's go there if we can. Second Corinthians 4:4 says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. I thank God that one day he shone his light, Sister Lacey, down in my heart too. And he seen something in this little old pinheaded kid that I was. Big old glasses, way too big for my face. Had my hair longer back in them days. I look at it now and I think, man, that was so 70s. We look, you know, I thought I was a muscle-bound kid, but I was nothing but just a rack of bones. Boy, I thought I had something. I was really just nothing. But my family deposited me off in a church. He did. They did. God shone his light down on me, and I was able to respond to that. For that brief moment in time, I was able to subdue my will enough to allow the Holy Ghost to be born into me. And that started a journey that's still continuing. And it started a growth and a development that is still developing. And it's developing, and it becomes more refined. Funny, as we start to grow, you know, they didn't ever have to teach me to lie. It's just something I knew. They didn't have to teach me to hate. It's just something I'd done. But I find that I can't do those things anymore, lying and hating and all these things. And then it gets down closer and embedded in me, those things that are in the very core nature of man that make us who we are. Those are the things now on the last end of this thing that we're working on. And God's working on his ministry. I've seen it at this meeting. A coming together and an attempting continuity of thought. Everybody's working on the same piece of the puzzle. We all want more of Christ, and we're all endeavoring to try to get it. A man told me, I was taking him back to the airport. He said, God is going to have to do something. In 1953, God done something for the body of Christ. It was a sovereign act. He acted in a sovereign manner for our people. But I believe in our latter day time now, I believe God's going to do another sovereign act for us. It wasn't at this meeting, but it could be at the next meeting. It may be a sovereign act that takes a duration of time to complete. But when he does it, we will have that next step in Christ. And that's what I'm longing for. For the next step we take shall be the greatest step of all. But if we do not, and we don't allow ourselves to truly be thankful for allowing our eyes to be touched. The light of God came down into the Dominican Republic and they rejoice. We haven't been cast out of anything. We're still part of what is the greatest thing on the face of the earth. In the past few months, I've been going through some reorganizing of things in my mind and resituating things in my heart, learning to have a pity, learning to have a compassion for someone's spiritual weakness. You know, it's easy to understand when somebody's sick, you have some compassion for them. When they can't do for themselves or they're ill, you go to the hospital and visit them. They got IVs on them. It's easy to have. It's not so easy to have compassion when they don't like you. But whenever we understand where mankind has got what he's got, his inabilities, and we understand how that as individuals we all have holes in our life. When people have mules, a mule may have a certain characteristic about him that is undesirable. I was always told that that's what they call a hole. Is that right? You didn't have mules, did you? They call those holes? That's what my father-in-law always told me it's called. I always listen when he's talking about holes. Some of us have holes in us. But over time, Christ is starting to patch that up. He's starting to correct that in us and in me. And I appreciate it. I thank everybody for your efforts this week. And I just appreciate the songs. I thought they was good, honey. And, of course, you understand why it would be that way. But to understand that God has touched our eyes and how he's done that. He didn't do that without a large sacrifice that we was talking about this morning in Bible study. He died out to his will so that we could have life and that more abundantly. He died out to his will to save somebody like me who hadn't been born yet, to make an opportunity for somebody to come in to the kingdom of heaven. And that little feller was me. And as Sister Lacey said, I don't want to be the disappointment of Christ. You know, after growing up in a home, after a while, growing up your natural home, you get to where you develop your own sense of understanding, and it doesn't, you know that you disappoint Dad, and it don't bother you so much. I knew there was a time in my life that I disappointed my father, and it got to where it didn't bother me because I was becoming my own man. And of course, he was allowing me to become my own man, and that disappointment, he would just shrug it off, and we would go on with our relationship. Because you can't live your life always pleasing your dad. Because that's his life, not yours. At least that was my thinking. But in the kingdom of heaven, we should always, and I believe we always do, try to do. Just as Jesus said, I think Brother Smith mentioned this in the meeting. He might have been downstairs. That I always do what? The will of my Father. That doesn't mean that he wasn't tempted to not ever do the will of his Father. Don't confuse the two. He said, I always do the will of my Father. Had he went on and elaborated on that, he said, of course, there's some times I'd rather do something else. But Dad knows best. But instead, he wanted to please his Father. And he said, I always do the will of my Father. And the unwritten part of that is that we will put in there, for the sake that they didn't put it in there, is he died out to his will, to his nature. I believe that's what we're saying. If I'm wrong, I'll hit the turn signal right quick. But I believe that's what we're saying. Why then? See, in the natural, see how that changed? But in the spiritual kingdom of God, we should always, and I believe we always want to do the will of our Father. But we find ourselves in that situation just like the Apostle Peter did. What in him? I believe, but help thou my unbelief. God, I believe that this is the body of Christ. I believe it's your people. But that little part of me that holds reservation, help that. That little part of me that looks at those scars of our life and say, my Lord, I just can't believe that these things take place in here. Help that. All of our pains and all of our past woes cause us to have scars, and they cause us to doubt. And it's in that doubting that we refuse to allow ourselves to move forward. And then we become entrenched or solidified in our thought process and said, okay, I can't move no farther because he can't do it. And if he can't do it, then ain't no sense in me trying. No, not at all. At any time, I believe Jesus could have went the other way. I wished Adam would have went the other way. I hate working. That's the truth. I'd rather just ease through life and eat bananas off trees, and I wear my little loincloth. That's fine with me. I guess that's what they wore. Well, actually, they didn't wear that until after sin, did they? Well, I don't want to paint a picture. I thank God that as I continue to live, and sometimes are just sometimes the best thing you can do is just what? Soldier on. Just soldier on. It's not always in me to always ask the question of whatever to fight or fuss. We all have questions, we all have concerns, we all worry about tomorrow, and we relegate today really to just thoughts of the past instead of just living for today. And so today I'm here, and today I love the Lord. I love him more right now than I loved him this morning when I woke up. I'm encouraged more right now than it was last Monday before the meeting. I was very apprehensive. I found out that I was a coordinator. What am I going to be coordinating? Am I going to tell anybody what to do? Wow. What's a coordinator? I kept asking Brett, what do we do? I'm a coordinator. What am I doing? I don't know. We'll get a list of names. We'll work it out. So we just, I don't know if me and Brother Brett's the same, but I kind of fly by the seat of my britches anyway. Seems to work for me. May not work for everybody else. But I appreciate God. I do. And I don't want to belabor any point for sure, but I thank him, Lord, that you touch my eyes. And though sometimes I'm like that poor little man that God, Jesus reached down and he spit down there in the dirt, he rubbed mud in the man's eye, he said, what do you see? He said, I just see men as trees. I just see men as trees. He touched his eyes again. He said, what do you see now? He said, I see all men clearly. Well, I don't know where I'm at and all that. Sometimes I see things so clearly, and sometimes I can't see nothing at all. But I know that if I just allow him to keep touching my eyes and touching my ears and touching my mind, that the Holy Ghost, the earnest of the Spirit of God that's in me, that's what quickens all of this to it. That is the witness to what the message is. Will awaken that in me and allow that to develop, that spirit of Christ that's supposed to be growing in me. You know, there's so many schools of thought on that. I appreciate Brother Smith's message on perfecting and overcoming. It's got me to thinking. But if we don't see and we don't hear and our mind don't comprehend, you can't perfect the outer man. And you can't overcome or have a complete dismissal of the outer man, because that can't be done just by main strength and awkwardness or time spent studying without the Spirit of God. Humanity and church religion around the world has kind of pretty much proven that. It takes another ingredient. It's like my wife's cake. She makes pretty good cakes. I could watch her make that cake, but if I don't put the right ingredients in it, it's going to have a different flavor. The body of Christ has a different ingredient in it. So anyway, I appreciate y'all. Thanks for bearing with me.
Appreciate the words today and the meeting and the opportunity we had. Yeah, I'm sore. Sorry. But it's a good feeling because I know how I got that way, and I'd do it again for sure. But I too appreciate what we have and appreciate the focus on today on just, you know, what we see and what we know, and just being thankful for the truths that we have. And I was reminded of this song in from the book of Ruth. You know, it talks about in there when Ruth went to glean in the field, in Boaz's field. And, you know, he acknowledged her and he told her to glean right here with my maidens. You'll be treated well. He charged his people to treat her well. And he said he went and told his servants. He said, be sure. I want you to drop some handfuls of purpose for her. And that's those truths, Sister Julie. That's those little nuggets when you're sitting there and something clicks and you get something and you get excited about it. That was a handful of purpose that God just dropped down for you. And I appreciate those. I appreciate that God has helped me the last few years. And in my Bible reading, I've been able to go through it. And every year, I thought of Brother Timothy Hughes said that. You know, as many years as he's been a minister, he still gets something new. And I thought, well, that's me. Every time I go through, I see a scripture and I think, I've read this. You know, why didn't I get that before? Why didn't I see that? Why didn't that click? But it was just a little handful that God dropped for me, just a little something each time I go through it. And I'm so appreciative of that. And because of that, I want to work for him. This last week was nothing compared to what all he's given me. His mercies to me. Like a stranger, Ruth wandered in a land not her own. She wanted to glean where Boaz had sown. He said, my daughter, I've seen thee, you're faithful and true. I'll drop some handfuls of purpose for you. So I'll work in your vineyard, I'll toil in your field, standing fast by your in your presence, I'll yield. I was nothing when you found me. In your love, surround me. Oh, Jesus, I'm longing for you. I have no stature or lineage that I should be known. For years I've been reaping where others have sown, but you touched my mind that I might know. You touched my eyes that I might see. You dropped some handfuls of purpose for me. Oh, I'll work in your vineyard, I'll toil in your field, standing fast by your maidens, in your presence I'll yield. Oh, I was nothing when you found me, in your love surround me, Jesus. Like a stranger, Ruth wandered in a land not her own. She wanted to glean where Boaz had sown. He said, my daughter, I've seen thee, you're faithful and true. I'll drop some handfuls of purpose for you. Oh, so I'll work in your vineyard, I'll toil in your field, standing fast by your maidens
that I should be known. For years I've been reaping where others had sown, but you touched my mind that I might know. You touched my eyes that I might see. You dropped some handfuls of purpose just for me. Lord, now I'm working
Hallelujah. Well, when Brother Edmonds was talking in the meeting, and he said there's a residual from the ministry being here. He said, y'all will feel it after we're gone. I think we're feeling it today. I think we felt it before it got here last weekend. And I really join with Brother Pryor in being thankful that God would grant us the privilege of hosting something as great as a general minister's meeting in the body of Christ. You know, God, like these songs and words we heard today, God grant you the privilege of receiving the revelation. You know, it took that in the early church. Jesus asked Peter who he was one day. He said, who do men say I am? He said, well, some think you're Jeremiah, some think you're Elijah, some think you're a prophet. He said, who do you think I am? He said, you're the Son of God. He said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. As you know, you have to have the same, when after he left, those 12 men got that revelation. Judas was probably one of those that was wavering, that had that doubt like Brother Pryor was talking about. But the scripture said he came to his own, but his own received him not. But as many as did receive him, he gave to them to become the sons of God. The power to become the sons of God. And so, and then he told Thomas later, he said, you're blessed because you've touched me, you've seen the holes in my hands, my feet, my side. He said, more blessed are they that believe on me who hadn't seen me. And another place he said that others would believe on him because of they would believe the disciples and the anointing, the testimony, the witness of God that was with them. It takes a revelation. It took a revelation after that, for after Jesus' departure, to get a revelation that the church was the body of Christ. That it was God, what God was doing in the earth, and it was the only way to salvation. And down here in the end of the Gentile world, it takes a revelation from God to know what God's doing. All these different churches and religions of Christianity, I'll put it that way. That the Lord in the end of this world will gather his people together in one body. You know, one harvest, there'll just be one people of God gathered together to receive the fullness of God. May have him in a measure. Out here in the world, there's people that have a measure of God, but to get the fullness of him, he's putting together a body of people to receive his fullness, and that he's going to use to harvest this world, just like he used the early church. And it's a marvelous thing to get a revelation of that. When I found this people, I knew I found my mother. I was searching. I was hunting. I knew there was more. But that was different than some people. God didn't. Some people, when they come here, they're not in the same condition. When I got here, I was ripe. I'll say that. I'll use it that way. I was ready to hear this message. I was hungry. And when I began to hear these things, these truths, it just came together for me. It just, all of my questions started being answered. I knew I found my mother. I knew I found what I was looking for. I've never been searching. I've never searched again, because I'm absolutely convinced that I found his body in its makeup, in its making condition. God's not finished gathering his body together. I know I found something, and that makes a lot of people mad, bothers people. Because they say, well, you think, you know, what I don't like about y'all is y'all think you're it. I'd hate to be in something I didn't think was it. But the thing about it is, it has nothing to do with us, how good we are. It just has to do that God's going to do a work. And he starts somewhere. And you and I have been fortunate enough that he was able to touch our lives. He was able to touch us and include us, give us an opportunity to be included. And just remember this, there's going to be people come in all the way down to the last hour, and they're going to get the same penny that you and I are going to get. The Lord is just in all of his ways. But we're able, you know, we have to get ours when it's our time. This is our time. He's added us. And I've got to, you know, I'd hate to rejected this when God brought me around here. God brought me. Did you know there was people came back there in that early church and listened to Jesus talk, listened to the 12 apostles, listened to the apostle Paul talk, and turned around and walked away and said, he ain't nothing, just another man preaching another gospel. They didn't ever get a revelation. They were blind. God blinded their eyes because they refused to believe. They refused to open their hearts, let him touch them. And so, but thank God today he's touched your eyes. He's touched my eyes and my ears. He's let me hear, see, and receive these precious truths that's, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I don't have too big a quabble with set you free, but there is some greater meaning to the fact that it makes you free. We're being liberated from the prison of sin. We're being made free. God's touching our lives and helping us. He's There's something taking place in our hearts and in our minds. And I'm thankful today that God included me and that he included you. Hallelujah. Before we go home today, let's pray. Let's lift our cares and our petitions up to the Lord. I know Brother and Sister Crow made it Tuesday night. Brother Crow said, I was going to get here if they had to bring me on a stretcher. He wanted to make that open service and see some of the preachers. Now, you know, ministry, they've been in this a long time and they just love it. But he's still not recuperated to the point that they can be here, you know, on a full-time, faithful basis like they've always done. Let's pray for him. Let's pray God would touch him. Give him a little extra space of time. And Sister Crow. And then remember Sister Elsie. Let's keep asking God to touch her, heal her. Sister Pat Authors and her daughter, Jenny. Let's keep remembering her condition, having this cancer that's, you know, she's in the last stages of it. If God doesn't give her a miracle, we sure will lose her in the near future. Let's pray for her. God would have his will. She's not afraid of death. She knows in who she believes. She knows that she is not finished. But she may be finished with this part of life, this facet of life. But God could give her a miracle. We don't know yet what God's going to do. Let's keep her in our prayers. Sister Jenny, she's taking care of her, and her husband Dwight, her daughter Brianna, and the two boys, I don't remember their names. Bryce and Jackson. Keep them in your prayers because they're taking care of her at home while she's there. And Sister Jenny, of course, just lost her sister Jill, and now she's facing the loss of her mother. It's always been Sister Pat and the girls, and she sees that it's going to get down to her and Brianna. And of course, I think we ought to keep Brother Randy in our prayers. He's going through this loss and suffering the loss of Sister Jill. Aren't we glad that he's here with us and helping us? And appreciate him. He just fell right in here and went to work with us. Never has complained or murmured about it. We drafted him right into it. We didn't even ask him. We just loaded him up, brought him, said, "Here." And then Brother Calderon's here with us still from the Dominican Republic. He'll be here through next weekend. Yo dile ellos ustedes aquí para una semana más. Entonces nosotros tenemos oportunidad para escuchar usted, para usted predicar a ustedes, a nosotros. I just told him, you know, that we know that you're going to be here another week, and we'll have an opportunity to hear you preach to us. And I appreciate Brother Calderon. How many of you like that tile floor out there that he laid for us? Hallelujah. Ellos gustan la cerámica que tú haces. And I can't talk Spanish as good as Sister Fisher, but I talk baby Spanish. He understands baby talk. I can talk it better than I can understand it. I know what I'm going to say, but I don't. And I've got so many words, so many words that's in my vocabulary that are Spanish, words of Spanish, and I can use them to make sense. But when you start talking, you use a word I don't know. That changes everything. So sometimes I can pick up on it, what they're saying, but if they use two words that I don't know in a sentence, I'm blowed up. You know, so I think, I don't know what I know, you know, maybe, you know, some of the words that connected it together, but I don't know what those words are, and that can change everything. So that's why I can speak it better than that, because I found out that I can use words that, you know, that can make sense trying to say what I'm saying, but I don't know certain words and don't know how to use them. So I just have to stick with my vocabulary right now. Anyway, we really appreciate him and his labors here and everybody that labored. And I tell you, somebody I want to honor today is Brother Joe. I'm telling you, he worked, he came here and stayed in the church and worked nights and even took off work and painted. I was in the kitchen bathroom yesterday. I was down here, came and got Brother Green, took him to the airport. And if we'd have known, if we just knew some things, Brother Pryor, Lionel he had to, Brother Pryor had to get up and take him to the airport about 4:30, I think, in the morning. And he did catch his plane to Atlanta, but when he got there, they canceled his flight, and he had to stay there to 5 o'clock. And I picked up Brother Green. He had a flight at 1 o'clock. And I took him to the airport and got him there at 12, and they canceled his flight here. He was supposed to go to Detroit and then to Providence. But they made him another flight to go to Atlanta. And he flew to Atlanta and met up with Leonel, and they put them both on the same flight to Providence at 5 o'clock in the evening. So he wouldn't have had to have gone anywhere before 1 o'clock, you know, if we had known how it was going to work out. Anyway, I'm glad you got the 5:30 call and I got the 1 p.m. call. That worked out good for me. Yeah, I preferred him. He'd get the biggest blessing, and I want him to get it. Anyway, so Brother Green is going back to Providence to be with Brother Leonel and his church this week. And so, Yes, Brother Albert Adams didn't make the meeting, and he just got through taking chemotherapy, and he was, you know, it just took him down slow. He just couldn't make it. So we need to keep him in our prayers, keep praying for him. And what else do we need to pray about here today, Sister Fisher? And Brother Joe had tore all that old paper. Brother Randy Ayers helped him, got all that old wallpaper off the wall and the mildew on the brick wall, got all that off and painted it. It looked so good in there. And then all the doors he painted downstairs, that pretty white doors, and then the bathrooms and the stairwells. He just, you know, I'll tell you, when Brother Junior passed away, I thought, God, what are we going to do for a painter? But God sent us one. Hallelujah. Sent us a new painter, Brother Joe. I don't know if he wants that title hung on him, but I'll tell you, he sure did a good job. And I've just seen him come in here and make his commitments to the Lord and reaching in and touching God deeper and deeper. I really appreciate that, seeing that in his life. We need, you know, we're like that sign you see where it says Uncle Sam just needs a few good men. Well, we need a few good men. We could use a whole lot, but we're thankful for everyone that God gives us. God sends our way. Amen. Keep praying for Brother Golden. He's making some job interviews. He had one last Tuesday he asked us to pray about. It'll be a while before he gets an answer. Let's pray. Let's pray God gives him a good job, making lots of money. Church needs the tithes. No, I won't. I really don't mean that. I joke about that a lot. But I'd like to see God bless him, Sister Karen. Help him. Yes, Sister Gail. All right. Let's pray for her daughter, Nikki. Has test this coming week. Let's pray that it'll come out okay. God will help her. All right. Let's remember that. Brother Durham, keep praying for him. He's got another test coming up. I I'm asking God to heal him of that aneurysm. They're in Republic this weekend. Michael and Cindy, let's pray God will give them a safe trip. Their grandbaby's second birthday. They just couldn't miss it, you know. And, Who? Oh, Brother Durham. He's going to be tested on December the 4th, and if they still have an aneurysm, they're going to put him in the hospital and have him, and they'll do the surgery on the other side. So keep him in your prayers. All right. Anything else y'all want to mention here today? Am I missing anybody? All right. If the ushers will come, we'll receive your tithes and offerings. Thank you again for your... I tell you, not just the work, the hard work you done, but the good spirit you did it in. Can you feel that today? There's peace in this house. There's no animosity, no hard feelings. If you got one, you're holding it in good. Most of the time, a lot of times when there's meetings, there's little ripples and things, feelings get out of sort. And after a meeting, sometimes it takes a while for the home assembly to get things straightened out. I don't feel like there's anything here to straighten out. Praise God for that. That means there's growth and strength here. Amen. All right, let's stand and ask God to help us with these needs and our cares, petitions to the Lord. Precious God. Oh, Savior, Lord, meet these needs. Touch Sister Elsie, Lord God, heal her. Oh, Lamb of God, let her be a testimony of your miracle-working power. Sister Pat, Lord, touch her. Have your will in these situations, Lord. Sister Jenny and Dwight and their family, their children, Brianna and sons, oh, God, touch them, Lord. Brother and Sister Crow, God, touch him. Give him more days, oh God. Give him more space of time. Bless him and Sister Crow for their faithfulness and their labors. Oh, Lamb of God, we love you today. Precious Jesus, meet these needs that we lift up before you here. Oh, Savior, oh, Savior, oh, Savior. Precious Lord, dear God, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lamb of God, Lamb of God. Precious Lord, Brother Durham, God heal him. Touch his aneurysm, dissolve it, oh God, before he has his test. Precious Lord, Brother and Sister Ogden, God watch over them, protect them, keep your hand on them. They return home, Lord. Have your way, God, in our midst in our lives. That's Brother Golden, Sister Golden. God help them. Oh, Savior, help him to get a better job, Lord. Touch them and increase their substance, Jesus. Precious Lamb of God, Lamb of God. Oh, Jesus, we love you. Appreciate your goodness. God, your touch on our lives. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, for what you've done in reaching down and touching us, your blessings and mercy, we give you praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, precious Jesus. Amen, amen. All right. You can be seated. I have a song here and receive your tithes and offerings. see God touching Sister Hannah today? Praise the Lord. I appreciate that. God and Sister Brooklyn. See, they just, you know, God just reaching down and touching these children. That's such a blessing to me. And Sister Chelsea, aren't we glad to have Sister Chelsea? Isn't she fitting right in here? My. Brother Fisher, you found you a gem. Hallelujah. All right. Just give him a praise before we go home today. Oh, God, we're thankful, Lord, for your blessings and your goodness. What a Savior. What a Savior. Hallelujah. Oh, precious Lord and God. We give you praise, Lord. We're just standing in awe. Oh, God, of your touch in our lives. Oh, Jesus, go with us. Help us. Oh, God, lead us and direct us. Amen, amen. All right, find somebody to invite to church this week. Sister Prainer? Okay. Are they those? Are they those yogurt deals? There's some desserts in containers. Downstairs, there's not a few, but there are some. Desserts and containers, the fold-over containers that need to be taken home. All right, God bless you.